when we hear about comebacks, maybe there's some movies that come up in your head, or we all love comeback stories. And I remember in my primary school playing rugby against Jan van Riebeek in Cape Town. It was a big game, under 13s. I remember it very well. They had big guys. They were changing the forwards and the back line all the time. They weren't sure if it's a center or a lock, because everyone is about the same size. And halftime we were behind 21-5. And I remember the teacher, he got us there in the change room, and he said, "Come on, guys, you can do it. You can do this. And don't worry if they tackle you hard, and don't worry about their size. Just run out and believe you guys can make a comeback." So, yeah, we had an amazing second half. We've won 24-21. So I remember tackling guys into chairs, and it was just amazing. You know where the guy go over the corner and you just go from the side and then you roll between all the parents that shouting for the children. It's just a great feeling. You can see I still remember it. But many of us, we have comeback stories. We've got things in our lives that happened and things that we trust God for, and then there were comebacks. And I was just thinking as I prepared for this, this is really something that, well, like I said, while we were praying at intercession the last couple of weeks, we were just thinking about making a comeback. But not only making just a comeback, it's just who we are and what God has done in our lives, that we can come and we can really step into those plans that God has. Those plans that's available for us. And that's really what I want to encourage each one of us this morning. That we will think about it and really just trust God again to make that comeback. And I'm interrupting myself here, but yesterday when we had the men coming together, some of us, we made those boerewors rolls, and it stood out for me the blessing that each guy can bring. And even the guys next to the road, it stood out for me that each one of those guys, they've got a gift that they can bring. And they are bringing a gift. And there's so much inside of us, so there's such a big potential of what we can do. But sometimes we think it must be massive or it's big, and so you see this whole 10-year plan, how everything is going to go out and work out, and where you can just take a cup of tea and sit to someone next to the road and talk to them. And your life will change and their lives change. It's amazing. Over my life up to now, I it was always just amazing how God, what God has done, and the things that happened in my life, where I still remember times sitting on my bed and just crying out to God, where it's a business that wasn't going so well. I say, "Lord, I need you to come through for me." And then a big sale that will come in from nowhere. And looking for work. Yeah, sitting. I always got this picture of sitting on my bed at Sunday evening at night. And then, but it's that's where it happened for me. Everyone is in bed. You know, you have the silent moments in your life. You guys that have children will know, when you put the wife is in the front and all the children, you close all the doors, and as you walk around to your door before you open it, there's a moment of silence right there. Maybe you don't understand, because there's a lot of voices in my house and a lot of action. And that same moment of silence is when everyone went to bed and it's at night and everyone is sleeping. There's a moment of silence, and sometimes it's like reality. It just strikes me again. And the things that I trust God for is just in my face. And I say, "Okay, Lord, this thing." And I just sit there and I just pray through it. And I know that I often said, "Lord, there's no one else. There's nothing else." to go to. There's nowhere else. I remember in Mozambique, standing there in a village with the whole village surrounding our vehicle and with big rocks ready to throw the vehicle and to throw it, to throw it on us. And in the middle of everything, a man with a machine gun walks through. And that always gives a little bit of respect. I don't know if you noticed that when someone with a machine gun walks into chaos, sometimes things just quiet down a bit. And that day, he was not on our side. So it was just chaos. And it was a moment where I thought, maybe this is where we're going to go down now. This is where it's going to end. And it was very real. But even at that time, I knew that God, you are in here, and we can cry in your name to bring order to this, to the chaos. Other times, traveling at night where the road just stopped. It's night, it's black in Malawi. Still remember this. Usually there's signs to give you a warning that they work on the road, so there's no more road. So there were no signs. There were just a lot of sand and rubble and stuff. So in that moment, you must make a decision, left or right, because the road has stopped. And you're going to say, Jesus, and then go. And praise the Lord, there was a detour. So we were flying a little bit through the air and then settling again and then through the detour and out on the other side, and the road continued. But those are just things that's happening. And we're not sure when those things come. Things can change any moment. But there's a God that we can hold on to. I really want to encourage you guys, as we going to talk about comebacks and the Sundays that's going to come. Today we're just opening the conversation. Things that we need to trust God for. Things that we stand in faith for. People that we stand in faith for. I really saw this picture of each one of us. We represent people. We represent a lot of people. And there's some people that we can trust for, that we can bring with. It was just different this morning. There's people that I think of that I've invited them often. I'll just invite them again. Come with. There's people that need to hear. There's people that need to be here when we worship. Let's experience this presence of God. And I can just bring them with. And each one of us, there's some people, it might be one, it might be many, that we can, but we can be a key into those lives, an entry point for Jesus, an entry point for the gospel, to go in there. And we can just bring them with. But what we have in common today, we have moments where we realize this is God coming through for us. I'm sure many of us, we have those moments where there was nothing else, and it was really God that came through. And that's what we're celebrating. We're not celebrating the great stories. We can have a braai, and we can bring all the stories, and we can talk for the whole night. But we're celebrating the God of the comeback. We're celebrating God. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God of the comeback, a God that we can hold on to. And I really want to encourage you, because we go through difficult times, and each one's situation is different. There's people here that not here today that they would love to be here, but they can't be here today. They can't because of their circumstances, because of the stuff that they're going through. But we worship, we're going to talk, we celebrate the God of the comeback. The God that made it possible that we can have life, that we can look forward to tomorrow in spite of everything that's going on in our lives. And it is really a journey. And sometimes we must just hang in there. That's sometimes the most difficult thing, just to hang in there. Stay in the game. I mentioned before, there were moments in my life where I just said, man, this is just too hard. I don't know what I'm going to do. This is just too hard. Well, I don't want to go on. I don't want to fight this battle anymore. when you feel like that, please share it to someone. Please share it. God is doing something in our family, in our community, where I think we're getting a little bit better at it, to share in each other's journey, to share in the battles. But we will have to get even better. And we will get better by God's grace. But don't just fight that battle by yourself. You know, sometimes we don't want to say anything, or just think that I'm the strong guy. Everybody know me as a strong guy. I've got this picture. And I'm going to make it. And nobody will know, and I will just present to them this perfect Yaku, and hopefully in 2 months' time everything will be fine, and then I don't have to pretend anymore, then I can just be myself again, if that makes sense. And we don't want to be vulnerable. But I'm actually just putting an invitation out that it's a time that God is calling us to that just be a little bit more vulnerable. With the battles that we fight, the stuff that we go through, because maybe there's someone that can just take your hand and stand by you and walk with you. And that's what we try to be, that community as we move forward. And we're not getting it right. And sometimes we get it so wrong. We see someone that's been away for a very long time, and the only thing that you say is, "Hey, you've been gone for so long." That's all that you say. Say, "Man, when are you going to come to church again? Because you never come in. You're not there." Instead of just saying, "Man, how are you? How's it going? What's happened? Do you want to share it? Can I pray for something?" Just different words, different conversations. There's a story in the Bible. Well, Moses. I love the story of Moses. And we know in Exodus 2 from verse 5, some of the verses is on the board. We know that he grew up in Pharaoh's house. He was a baby in the river. And they found him there and had everything going for him. And a lot of things were fine, and he grew up in Pharaoh's house, and everything is amazing. And we read in the Old Testament, in verse 7, then they found him there in the river, and his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother, and so the woman took the baby and nursed him, and when the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." So Moses, he had a great advantage in Pharaoh's house. That's a great starting point. Especially considering that he's a Hebrew at heart. He's one of the Hebrews who were very afflicted at the time. They were going through difficult times, and Pharaoh was just appointing more taskmasters over them. So he was making it really hard for them. And Moses saw that, and he had a little bit, maybe an anger problem, we're not sure. But one day he saw these guys fighting. In verse 11, Moses grown up, he went out to where his own people were, watched them at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people, looking this way and that and seeing no one. Sounds like my children. When they want to take bubble juice out of the fridge, they look this way down the passage and that way. They don't see us. And you hear, "Wee!" The door open, and they drink quickly, close the lid, put back, close the fridge. "And Daddy, what? What, Daddy? What?" And I must guess what happened. So Moses, he looked this way and that way, and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptians and hid him in the sand. The next day he went out and saw two Hebrews fighting. He asked the one in the wrong, "Why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew?" The man said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian?" And Moses was afraid and thought, what I did must have become known. So we know the story. Moses fled. He went into the desert. He went to his father-in-law, Jethro, and he started looking after the sheep. And he almost settled there. He settled in that place. It's many years, another 40 years go by. And maybe that's a picture of some of us. Starting out strong, things going for us, big future, a lot of plans, things look promising. Then a few things happen in between. And a few things go wrong. And then we just make a run for it. Or we just hide. I think he was just hiding there in the desert. And then a bush caught fire. We don't know how many bushes there were. Maybe it's like the only bush in kilometers radius. But that bush caught fire and it caught his attention. It was even better. There was a voice coming out of the bush saying, Moses, Moses. It called him by name. And Moses said, here I am. Here I am, in Exodus 3, verse 4. In Exodus 3, later, Moses said to God, he said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. So God is calling Moses to go back and he's giving him a plan. He's saying, you are still part of my plan. I didn't forget about you. Amazing thing is Moses was hiding and God is meeting him right there in his hiding place. Right there. He didn't decide one day, I think I want to make right and I want to make a journey back to Egypt and I'm going to do all this stuff. He just had to respond to what God was telling him. Because God was right there. God came and he met him right there in his hiding place. But now he's saying, whoa, whoa, whoa. This is a bit hectic. I'm not a great guy. I struggle with this and this and this, all this. And he's making his lists. So, Lord, you want to do this amazing thing? Maybe get someone else. And he said, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. I am has sent me to you. And then he just went on, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. The name you shall call me from generation to generation. I didn't forget you. I'm still looking out for you. You're still on my heart. I didn't forget about you. And this is the God that intervened the story. This is the God that's sending you. And I'm going to do it. The amazing thing is Moses, he had all these excuses, he had all these reasons that he doesn't want to go up to. He said, I can't talk and I can't do this and that and that. And even Aaron went with him, and he was his spokesperson. That's actually nice. It's like those groups where you make often we do a course, and they put you in a group, and they ask you, so who's the leader of your group? They say, no, this guy. And that guy said, this guy, and this guy. So Moses didn't have that problem. He had Aaron right there, and he was the spokesperson. So he can just do all the work on the side, and Aaron will do all the talking. The amazing thing is, everything that happened there was because of God's power. The Israelites that went out of Egypt, it was God that did it. Everything that happened, it was God that pitched up. God was showing, I am who I am. I am the Almighty God. It was God that came against all the gods of Egypt. And he manifested all those plagues and everything that happened. It was God. Moses was just stepping there and he just said yes. He just decided at a certain point, he decided, okay, Lord, what you're telling me, I will walk with it. I will go with this. And then God did the rest. And sometimes we think that when we sign up for something or when we think of something we trust for, and we get this idea, we think that I've got to work out everything. And I'm not talking about different personalities. Ones that make lists and others that don't make a lot of lists. I'm just saying that sometimes we think we need to have everything sorted out. We have got all our boxes ticked. Everything must be perfect before we can move. Everything must be repented of, and everything must be this, and I just want to sort out this and this and this, and I want to do all these things, and I don't know enough. But when we say yes to God, it's actually God that is bringing the breakthrough. It's God's power that's going to change the situation. We just need to start the journey. Just to start the journey. And when we talk about comebacks, we might think, can this business be restored? Can those relationships be restored? Can I be so passionate about God as I used to be? Can this ever happen in my life again? Can that guy come back? Can this brokenness that I experienced, can it be repaired again? These things that I don't tell anyone about. Can I overcome this addiction or this thing that I struggle with? Is it even possible? And we start thinking in our own strength. We start thinking, can I do it? And maybe we like Moses, where you think, I've done too much, I just want to hide. But today God is just saying, he said, I am who I am. I am the Almighty God. And as we're going to continue in this comeback series, we're going to look at these things. We're going to look at things that God is doing. We're going to discuss some of the stories, some of the great examples in the Bible. But I trust that for each one of us, we will get to a place where we can just respond to God's word in our life. I believe God is speaking to us. He is nudging us. There is something there. Once we say yes to that word, once we say yes to what God is telling us, then we started on that journey to make a comeback. Sometimes it's a long journey. Sometimes it's a process. But then that has started. And ultimately it is God that brings the change. I was a little boy. I remember the house where we stay right now, in that same room where Gustav and Samuel are sleeping. We used a different bunk bed. We upgraded their bed. So Gustav is lying there on the bottom, Samuel's on top. But on a bunk bed in that room, for many years, when I was at night, I had nightmares of snakes that trapped me in a corner in the passage. So it didn't, I think it was 2 or 3 years. I actually forgot about it. The only thing that I did after a while, because I talked to my parents about it and nothing happened, but I was a little boy and I just said, I'm just going to pray every night. I remember falling asleep saying, Jesus, please let the snakes don't come tonight. And every night I pray that prayer. And later I actually forgot about it. I forgot the time that I used to pray those prayers. It was a very long time. Every night, you go through your normal routine, you go through your normal stuff. Like we read a book, we read Bible, pray together as a family. And then in bed, I will lie there and I say, Jesus, please let the snakes don't come. And then I'll say, please, like 100 times. And I thought it will have a better effect. If I say, please, God, please, God, please, God, please, God, and until I can't count it anymore. And that's how I will fall asleep. And after a very long time, those dreams just stopped. It just went away. Not something that I just asked the Lord. But I was a little boy, a little bit of faith, that no one can help me. But somehow Jesus can do something about this. And it went away. It never came back. Never. I actually just remembered about it yesterday afternoon. But that is sometimes the journey. That sometimes we just need to cry out to God. You bring your prayer in the way that you can bring it. And you say, Lord, this is what I need, God. This is the process. I remember in Delft, at Shofar Delft there, on the Cape Flats, there was this guy, Moses. It's another Moses. He was a great guy. Small guy. When I met him, it was just after he met Jesus. Just after he decided to follow Jesus. Everybody was telling me, Moses is he's wild. He is a rough guy. They're afraid of him, and he's really, he can get very angry. I said, guys, Moses is he's like he reminds me of Jeff. He's rustig. That was Moses when I met him. He was rustig. He was peaceful. He was always helping out. Just a great guy. His friend said, just like Jeff. His friends told me that, man, before this guy met Jesus, he was wild. He was just crazy. We were all afraid of this guy. I said, it can't be. It's impossible. And I said, Yaku, seriously, you just came here a bit late. Else you would have experienced Moses. And that was amazing. The Lord came, just transformed him. He was a different person. And I would often speak to him and spend time with Moses. And then he said, Yaku, I'm so different. I used to be this rough guy. I used to be saying, I'm so different because of Jesus. And one day afterwards, a couple of years later, I was sitting in the office in Shofar, Cape Town. And there was this guy that phoned and Moses, he was just in Delft now. He was just trusting in God. He didn't have work. Sometimes he get odd jobs. And he always say, no, I trust in God. I trust in God. And this is what I do. And he was just faithfully serving the Lord. And I remember in a couple of years later, somebody phoned the office there. And they said they're looking for a guy to work at a company in Cape Town. And I overheard the conversation. And I said, man, there's this one guy. That's the best guy I can give you. That's Moses in Delft. There's not another guy like Moses. He's the best. He's the best you can get. I just remember him, and he phoned him, and he went for an interview, and Moses is still working there. That's now years later. He got married. He's got a child. And God just came, and he just changed his life completely. And he's still serving the Lord. He's still faithfully serving God. I went there, and he's still a good guy. I still can't imagine that this is the same guy. But this is what happened when God intervened in life, in our lives. And sometimes the hurt is really deep, and it's emotional hurt, and there's a lot of places where we go through. But hold on to God. And that's just what I want to say right at the beginning of this comeback series. Hold on to God. And there's other people that need to hear this. Maybe we think that, wow, I'm in an okay place. Then we need to share this with someone else and bring them word that they can hear it. The classic comeback stories, was usually in the movies, is one of two twists. There's this underdog, this guy that can't do much, and then he starts training. He's running through the snow, and he's doing all the stuff, and he runs for 30 or 60 days, and they give you that month. They always go so fast over it. And you see small guy with big muscles. Something happened it's usually 3 to 6 months. It's amazing. And then he will come and he will fight and he win this great guy. Or it's this great guy, typically it's a boxer. He used to be on top of the world and then he goes down and things take a wrong turn in his life, and somehow someone will walk past him one day and realize, hey man, you used to be a great boxer. So let's get you back on track. And then it's also that 3 to 6 months period. And he's all restored and you see him in the fight and then he wins. So it's either this champion or it's this underdog. And that is classic comeback stories. But all of us, we face different kind of challenges in our lives. And we know people that's going through difficult times. We might be. Yesterday we were talking to guys that they don't feel like they have any options left in life. And we realized that there's a place where you still have options. That's actually a good place to be. Or some of us, we're struggling still with addictions, or we can be overwhelmed at work. It's just a lot of stuff. We don't know where to start. We just need some hope. We need fresh strength. We need something to get through the day. We realize that our joy is just not there. Start wake up in the morning and just feel like the same old, same old, same old all the time. Life feels empty and meaningless. Maybe we just need perspective again on what is happening, what is going on in our lives. We've lost some of the perspective. We're not sure. This disillusioned or directionless. And sometimes just floating. Say, Lord, show me this, show me what to do. You're not sure. When was the last time that you heard God's voice? You say, Lord, what are you speaking to me? I'm not sure. But when Jesus calls us to a life of comeback, sometimes it's just bad circumstances, things that are really bad, and we just go through it and things change and everything is better. But sometimes there's a deeper kind of comeback. Sometimes there's this deeper kind of comeback where what God is offering us, and that we've mentioned before, He offers us His presence. He offers us His presence right in the middle of it. Of course, God's got a plan for His glory, and because He wants to do something in our life, He's working it. He wants us to become holy. He wants us to become righteous. He's doing something amazing in our lives as well. And that's even a deeper kind of comeback, where Jesus is offering His presence. It's available for us. It's something that we can hold on in the middle of the storm. We've talked about it quite a bit. When Daniel started his sermon a couple of weeks ago, disciples of Jesus in the boat, and I've seen it with many people where it's actually just now you're with Jesus and you're going straight through the storm. Not so much just praying about take this away and take that away and say, just Lord, help me to see what you are doing. And we're going straight through. We're going straight through. But that is sometimes that is tough. But the amazing thing is there's a place where God can come and He can bring us hope. He can bring us peace. He can bless us with His presence right in the middle of that journey. Right in the middle of all of that. In the Bible, some of the great comeback stories, the Garden of Eden. We know Adam and Eve, they made some bad decisions there. And we were all affected. But the thing is, they were also hiding. Also running away, and God came. We know in Genesis 2 and 3, God walking into the garden, and He started calling them again. They are hiding. God actually walking there, and He's calling them. And then, God redeems them. There's a redemption. God's made a plan. He redeems them. And He gave them a future again. He gave them a hope again. And for all of us. And we all know that. That is for Jesus that came to this earth and died on the cross for our sins. And then got resurrected again. The greatest comeback ever. where Jesus has come back and he rose out of that place of hell and out of the darkness and out of everything. And sometimes we forget the power of really what happened there. It's a place where Jesus, he overcame all the darkness, all the power, all the stuff, all the evil, all the stuff that's going on in this life. And we can hold on to that and we can tap into that power. In Noah's Ark, it's always a great story. You look at the children's books, it's one way you can see if these guys are just, they just wanted to make a children's book for the sake of making another book, or they're actually trying to do it according to the Bible. So sometimes Noah's Ark is really small, the people are really big, there's no way it's going to fit a giraffe in there. And other times it's more closer to scale. But with Noah's story, we know everything that happened there, and God came and he gave them hope and he gave them a promise again that this is not going to happen again. And what does Noah do? He gets out of the ark and he starts planting a vineyard, and then he started a drinking problem. And he messed up a bit. The guy that was in the middle of all this great stuff that God is doing and everything. And that caused a lot of conflict in his family and for generations afterwards. And he was lying there drunk, and his sons that found him there and everything that happened there. But still, in Hebrews 11, verse 7, it describes Noah that became an heir of righteousness in keeping with his faith. Still, he's talking about Noah that's an heir of righteousness. Noah, still a man of faith. So Noah made a comeback. He came back from that place, and somehow God restored it, and somehow God still lists him in Hebrews 11 as a man of faith. And we know Abraham promised him a generation of lots of children and the father of the faith. And God said, you're going to have a child. And that's where everything is going to start. And after a while, his wife came to him and said, Abraham, I'm getting old, man. It's not much happening. And maybe we must make a plan. God has gave us a promise, but maybe we must make our own plan. Maybe we must make it happen. Maybe we must do something. And in Genesis 16, she decided to give a slave girl, Hagar. She gave the slave girl to Abraham. So Abraham, go sleep with the slave girl and see if there's going to be a child. And that caused a lot of chaos in the years to come. They didn't want to wait longer. They didn't want to wait for God to come and to do his work. And later, much later, God's plan happened and they got a child. When they thought that they were too old for this to happen, they thought that they are too old, and Sarah, she even laughed when the plan came there and the guy said that you're going to have a child. She just laughed. And sometimes we think that what God's wanted to do, I've given up. I've waited long enough. And when we start making our own plans. But even when we make our own plans, God can still come and he redeems it. And that's what God also did for Moses. Because of all the stuff that Moses was going through and all the stuff that, all these excuses and everything, God found him there in the desert. God used him again. And even while they were going through the desert, we know, man, he had some trouble following God. And eventually God said, you're not going to go into the promised land. I will show you the promised land, but you're not going to go into it. But when we jump, so you might think that, okay, that's not so great. The amazing thing is, still when we saw later Jesus and his disciples praying together, and Jesus going up the mountain, the two guys, Elijah and Moses, and the angel coming there, and there is Jesus and Moses is there. And it's almost like he's making another comeback. We just see this guy, he's standing there. Obviously, he was representing the law and Elijah, the prophets. But he never was removed from the story. He never was taken out of God's plan. God redeemed him all the time. God came and he gave him a second chance. And he's still a great guy. And we can go on and discuss so many things. Maybe today some of you found yourself in a difficult place, in a dark place, and there's something that I want to offer you. There's always the hope in God. There's always the hope in the Almighty God. There's always something that we can hold on to. But what we often want is we want the program. We want the 30 days to lose weight, or the 60 days to play guitar, or the ting, ka-ting, 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 everything must. I want the plan. I want the steps. This is how it's going to work. I'm going to do it. It's going to be amazing. Just want the program. You say, Lord, this is what I need. This is what I think. So just tell me this and this and this. And we want to work harder and we want to do more. And God is just, I just sense that God is not, he's coming and he's saying, you don't have to do more. You don't have to now go into a place to do more stuff. It's just surrender to me. Just start there. Just surrender to me. Just surrender to my word in your life. Just reach out. Just worship me again. I want to read you guys Psalm 63. That's the first few verses. David, he said, you God are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. In a dry and a parched land where there is no water. Sounds like David needs a comeback. He said, Lord, I search for you, Lord. I'm in a dry land. Not tough. I'm searching for you, God. And then there's the thing that he starts believing. There's a place where we will have to get to where we believe in God. If the enemy robs you of your faith, then things are just a little bit more difficult. Anything that we bring, you just bring your little bit of faith, you bring that little bit, and you say, Lord, I still hold on to you. I'm not as strong, I don't have a lot of hope, but I'm just grabbing on somewhere. I remember years ago I was in the rubber duck with Rob Lowe. He used to play Springbok rugby. And it is one of those, you know those rubber ducks with those speedboats. And we were going at Blouberg and he said, how fast do you want to go? I said, how fast can this thing go? So it doesn't help. We're wasting each other time here. So we went straight into the waves. Like not along the waves, just straight. And those big waves come and they break. And he just said, okay, hold on, guys. And we just went straight through those waves. So with the rubber duck, you know, it tilts backwards and you think it's going to fall on the back. And then somehow it comes back and you just go. And the waves closes in from both sides in those tubes. And then you go next to those tubes and then you just slip through. When everything breaks behind you, then it seems like, yeah, it's real, it's good. So I just remember holding on to a net on this side, and I had my left toe in some sort of a thingy on the other side. And your body is just going through the air. So first the rubber duck comes down, and after a while you comes down. You come down, and then you hit that deck, that floorboard. And then you just go on. And all the thing is, I must just hold on to something. So just before you can get a grip again, you're in the air and everything is just going. But sometimes that is enough. Just hold on to something. Because you might not be in a place where you feel, I'm not doing so well. I don't have any strength left. I'm struggling here. I want to say, believe in God. Hold on to something. Hold on to God. Just hold on. Don't let go. Believe. Listen to what David wrote here. He said, I've seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. I've seen you and I behold your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. This guy is in a difficult place. And he said, I hold on to you. Your love is better than life. He believes again. He's making these declarations. My lips will glorify you. Lord, I will glorify your name. And then he comes and he starts his comeback story. He said, I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name, I will lift up my hands. That's where he started a comeback. He said, I will praise you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands to you. Well, I will hold on to you. Even in this dry place. And that is my invitation to us today. That wherever we find ourselves, this is where we start. This is the beginning of a comeback. Where we declare, Lord, I still believe in you. I still believe that you can save. I still believe that you can change something. I still believe that something can change. And when we start to lift our hands to God and just praise Him and just worship Him, despite all the stuff that's happening. And I want to invite you as we continue next couple of Sundays, let's come, let's just open our hearts again. Say, Lord, what do you want to do? Or what are you doing? What are you saying to me? Or you just come and you just bring whatever, wherever you need a comeback. We bring it and we hold on to God. I'm just going to quickly ask the guys just to hand out the communion. I just want us to take communion. We just celebrate the greatest comeback ever. What Jesus has done for us. And then we're going to end off. I felt when I was preparing, I felt this a word for someone is just that your prayers are making a difference right now. The prayers that you are praying are making a difference. It seems like nothing is changing. It seems like everything is staying the same. But your prayers are making a difference. When Lee's sister, when they got married, we gave them a book, we wrote in there, we're praying for them, we pray for their salvation, that they will decide to follow Jesus. And many years later, we receive an email from a sister just saying that, thank you for praying for me for all these years. I've decided to follow Jesus. And I told you guys earlier in the year when they were a couple that also went through lots of difficulty in their marriage, and the guy sold the house and drove off into the night, and he came back. He turned around. He said, I had an encounter with Jesus. That's why I turn around. I'm going to start again. I'm going to see if I can make a change in my marriage. And they started again. He sold the house without telling his wife and just drove off and came back and said, I had an encounter of Jesus. Everything is not fine yet. But that's the start of a comeback. It's the start of a journey with God. Whatever you guys, whatever we are going through, let's start that journey with God. Or let's continue the journey with God. Let's hold on to Him. And today when we take communion, we celebrate the greatest comeback ever. We celebrate Jesus that rose from the death and overcame sin and overcame everything. We celebrate that power that's available. That's power that's available. We celebrate Jesus that can come and He can do that healing process in our hearts, and He can fill those gaps that was left through circumstances and things in life that happened, and people that passed away, and difficulties and things that happened, and wrong decisions that we made, and where we lost our passion for the Lord, where we had a dream when we were young, and things didn't happen as we thought. God can redeem all of that. We've heard a lot of things this morning, and do we still believe that God can come and change something?